To St. Luke, the second chapter. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord. Morning, so I'm going to come down, and Steve, if you want to join the congregation in the pews, you're welcome to. No man left behind. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Question for you. How many of you have ever been asked by an evangelical person, "Have you found Jesus?" All right. And you know, of course, the Lutheran response to that, "I didn't know he was lost." Or more appropriately, "He found me." Amen. Well, this Gospel of Luke has this story playing out a little bit. Jesus' parents lost him, or so they thought. He was in a crowd of travelers going to the Passover in Jerusalem. This is important. And the kid gets lost in the crowd. Again, so they think. But when they find him, 3 days later, he's in the synagogue. He's in his, what he calls, father's house. And he's sitting with the learned scholars and asking great questions and teaching. Was Jesus ever really lost? No. He was not lost. He was in his father's house. He knew where he was. Now here's a little secret for those of you who love to study the Bible. At the beginning of Luke, Luke writes, "I'm setting out an orderly account." Okay? Luke, the writer, wants people to understand Jesus. And Luke has themes. So a couple of little secrets between me and a few of you. And you can tell your neighbors, it's not really a secret. The beginning of Luke is very much like the end of Luke. All of Jesus' loved ones
they lost him on Good Friday. And then there was the road to Emmaus. And these disciples are walking around and talking. And did you hear? They're telling Jesus, did you hear about all these awful things that happened to our Lord, to our friend, to our Jesus, Friday night? And Jesus is just walking along, talking with them. Did you know? Did you? We lost Jesus. He died. But he was not lost. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. It's an inclusio. It's a bookend in the Gospel of Luke. But even more so, the Gospel of Luke has that lost and found theme. The lost coin, the lost sheep. What's the third one? The prodigal son. The lost child. In all of these things, the lost is never lost. Not to God. In this beginning of the church year, we remember that Christ came to us. Our Lord Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God found us. Just like God found his shepherds in the middle of nowhere that first Christmas. God found us in raising Jesus from the dead on the third day. Jesus is never lost. There are times when we are more aware of Jesus than other times. And sometimes our greatest awareness of Jesus is in our darkest moments. You know the saying, you know, it has to be really dark outside if you're going to see the stars, see the light at night. Sometimes we notice Jesus most when things are darkest. But he is never lost. He's always present. And that is the message of Christmas. Jesus is Emmanuel. And we didn't do anything. This is so hard for us to understand. We didn't do anything to deserve it. That's why it's called grace. And that's why we are free to be people of grace. Because we've been loved by the Almighty. And we have the presence of the Almighty. We have the Spirit of the Almighty within us. We have nothing to fear. If Jesus seems far, it only seems that way. Because God is with us. All the time. His parents didn't lose him. Not that first time, and not on Good Friday. We don't have to find Jesus. Jesus found us. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Amen. We placed the benediction. And I come back to the organ, and Amber says, bless them. Because when I'm done preaching, sometimes I forget that part of the service is there, but be blessed. The God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, for whom we wait. Amen.
Please join me in our prayers of intercession. Join our voices with the heavenly host and Christians throughout time and space. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You come to us in gatherings of your church across the globe. Unite us with those who celebrate your birth, even when they are weighed down by grief, loss, poverty, hunger, or injustice. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You come to us in the diverse splendor of the universe. Grant us the humility to trust our place in the network of creation, that we live in service to you and the natural world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You come to us through relationships of many kinds, families, friendships, communities, and nations. Guide us in these relationships that we recognize the Christ child in one another and show your love to those most vulnerable. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You come to us through people whom the world forgets. Poor shepherds and an inspired Paul announced your good news. Send your spirit to all who are imprisoned, struggling with addiction, unwell, or in any need this day. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You come to us in acts of justice and forgiveness. Open our hearts to forgive one another without permitting injustice. Supply us with the wisdom to be clothed with love, binding all things together in perfect harmony. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You come to us through those who have died yet live with you forever. We give thanks for Stephen, deacon and martyr, who gave his life to tell the story of your love. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
We give you thanks today for the life of Nelson Mandela, leading his people in your love and your hunger for peace and justice and nonviolent resistance. We give you thanks that he joins the saints in light. Merciful God, rejoicing in your word made flesh among us, we commend these prayers to you, confident of your grace and love made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Thank you.
disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered together by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This meal is a gift of God's grace. You are invited by the Jesus who found you.